I wanted to record this because it's part of the theme of the practice period, and I'd like to continue with the Bendo Wa. And I want to talk today about Fukan Zazengi and Shikantaza, but just by way of a little introduction, when Dogen came back from China, and he felt the, you know, that he had the responsibility to spread the Dharma that he'd learned from Ru Jing, which was the Dharma of Shikantaza, of Zazen, of simply sitting, and having that be the practice, Zazen. And there wasn't really a place for him, and he wasn't really welcome back at Hiei with the Tendai school, because they emphasized multiple paths. And he was at Keninji for a while, but even they forced him out of there. And you see that in the movie. I don't know if it got actually burned down, but he was forced out by the powers that be, and he moved farther away, and eventually, of course, he started a Heiji far, far away in the mountains. It's even far away today from Tokyo, or from Kyoto for that matter. Anyway, the first thing he wrote when he got back was the Fukan Zazengi, which I think of as Zazen instruction. As a matter of fact, when I learned to do Zazen instruction, Leslie James at Tassajara taught me how, and she said that she used the Fukan Zazengi as kind of a checklist. You know, there's that paragraph, you know, to sit cross-legged and what to do with your hands and so on. It really is Zazen instruction. And then the second thing he wrote was the Bendo Wa, which is what we're studying, right? The talk on a wholehearted practice of the way. And Bendo Wa, of course, is also about Zazen, and talks about it as Jiju Yu Zamai. And Okamura says that you could think of the Bendo Wa as a commentary on the Fukan Zazengi. And I think of it as sort of a, I don't know, an explication. And if the Fukan Zazengi is more about what you do with your body, then the Bendo Wa is more about what you do with your mind. So Fukan Zazengi does say about the mind, it says, think not thinking. How do you think not thinking? Non-thinking. Non-thinking. So it's not not thinking, and it's not thinking, it's non-thinking. Shikantaza is non-thinking, because we're not trying to stop the thoughts. It's just one of the things going on when you sit down and get quiet and pay attention. The bird's singing, the buzzsaw is going. I think there was some sort of tool that was chewing up dry rot above the garage door during Zazen this morning. I'm not sure that's what was going on, but that's what I think. And as Zach has said long ago, you know, when he sits, he hears the birds, but he doesn't listen to them. But that's his intention. I bet he sometimes listens to them. I do. And I sometimes listen to whatever that thing was. And my intention is to do Shikantaza. Shikan, simply, or just taza, sitting. Just sitting. With my body and my mind, just as it is, just as they are, or just as they is. And then my attention includes my body and a continuous really Zazen instruction. A continuous noticing the curve in my lower back, a continuous noticing if I'm pressing up with my chest, my breastbone. A continuous noting where my shoulders are, where my breath is. And a continuous returning to my breath and my body. A continuous, a continuous intention to not get entangled with my thoughts. A continuous intention to non-think, to let the thoughts come and go, to let them be. Because Shikantaza is about being present for what is. It's not about going off to a bliss realm. You know, every so often, maybe you need that. You need to have a moment of recreation in the middle of your zazen because it's too hard. So you think about something for a little while. Think about a flower. Think about nasturtiums. Think about clear flowing creeks in the Eastern Sierra. I think those things, you think whatever. That's okay, it's not Zazen, it's not Shikantaza. It's useful sometimes, but Zazen, the Zazen I speak of, is simply sitting still in the middle of it. Keeping, turning towards what is, turning away from thinking, returning to non-thinking, over and over and over and over and over again. And it sounds so easy and it's so difficult. And I think it includes some sense of turning towards, but not in the sense of thinking about something, but in the sense of noticing. So that if there is a physical sensation, that you're aware of it, and that you breathe into it, and you allow it. And if something comes up, fine, but not asserting it, not thinking about it, not grasping after it, not pushing it away, even with a flower, and not grasping after it. You know, I often say, you know, sit down and see what happens. That's Shikantaza. See what happens. When you sit like that, that's Buddha. Uchiyama says, the real Buddha is nothing but the Zazen we practice. And it's practice. Dogen says, in Benoa, that's enlightenment. Practice and enlightenment are not two. And part of practice is that effort that we make, the effort to sit up straight and so on, and the effort to not get entangled or to notice when we are entangled in our thoughts and to let them go, to return to non-thinking. And it's difficult. Sometimes it's easy. So, Shikantaza, that just sitting, is related to Jiju Zanmai, and there will be lectures about that, so I'm not going to talk about it, but I wanted to talk about Shikantaza as the base. How about this? The bedrock floating in emptiness. There's no way to talk about it without making a mistake. And there's no way to understand it by just talking about it. So I wonder how you guys understand Shikantaza or just sitting. Or if you have any response to what I've said. Somebody? Steve?
I was struck by your continued use of continuous, continuously noticing the curve in the spine, or continuously noticing the position of the shoulders. It is continuously my intention, but I don't think of it as continuous. I guess because it seems to be so much returning. It seems like one returning practice.
I like that. I use the word continuous. I'm unaware that nobody is, and you can't pay attention to all those things at one time. But I said continuous because I think that there's this subliminal attention on the body and the breath and so on, and that if you really do slump, very soon you'll notice it. And it's like the intention is pretty much continuous, but what actually happens is different. But I was also thinking about it that it isn't something that you think about. It's not something you don't sit there and say to yourself, "Is my mudra round? I should check that. I pay attention to where's my mudra right now. Where is my breath?" You know, you just do it. You know, so that's what feels continuous to me, because it's not chopped up into sentences. Yes, that.
Non-thinking. I find that, I don't want to use the word best or better, but I find that the less I try, the better things go. Yeah. So if beating yourself up for thinking about the Warrior game coming up next week, and it's hard to not try, but I find that, like this morning, I had really good zazen. It was easy, and I didn't have to try to. But maybe on the one days, after a while, I loosen up a little, and I'm not trying so much. So maybe there's just doing it versus thinking about doing it.
Yeah.
And just doing it is, the zazen goes a little quicker. It's a little easier. And it's more wonderful.
Yeah. Wondrous. This wondrous dharma. Yeah. Leah?
Well, first, that instruction you gave was really good, and I feel like it goes in a little bit more hearing it again. And the non-thinking, what comes to mind is kind of a subtle but really significant difference between whether you're kind of engaging a little bit with the thought or whether you're just noticing it and not engaging. Becoming more aware of where that kind of, I don't know what they call it, connection or something comes in or doesn't come in, or how you let go of that. But it's hard to talk about. So
yeah, well, Uchiyama has this whole discussion about wondrous dharma. You know, it's wondrous because you can't, I think he says you can't understand it through words, and I'm very conscious of our discussion on Wednesday about the painting of a rice cake, and that you need words. And I hadn't thought about it in those terms before, but I gave an example of it was an awakening experience. I don't know if I'd quite call it a Kensho kind of experience, but it was certainly an insight that was a physical experience before it was words. But it was triggered by words in case 55, the alive or dead, I won't say case. But at any rate, that's what we were talking about. So it's not that words don't matter, and I am sure that Uchiyama would agree that words matter, seeing as how he was rather prolific, you know. But there is some part of it that you really have to do it in order to come to some understanding. I mean, I don't know if you were listening to this conversation and were saying things like, well, when I try, it gets harder. And when I don't try, things seem to move faster and so on. I don't know that that would make sense to somebody, or to say, I hear the birds and don't listen to them. I don't know, but if you when you sit zazen regularly for a while, I don't know how long, then you, that's sort of a no-brainer. It's not always easy to do, but it's, there is something. Mel used to say, you know, that, you know, you need the finger to point at the moon, but don't get caught by the finger. Don't be like a dog when you point at something with a stick in your hand. The dog will go for the stick. Then my dog, anyway, doesn't do pointing, stick or no stick. I'll stop. Be one of those people that talk about my dog all the time. Anything else?
Zach, I totally agree with you. And Mary, reiterating Zach. Except that in my practice, I listen to the birds, but I don't hear them.
What does that mean?
To me, it means I'm listening. Well, first of all, what came to mind is that you can use the different words to describe, to point at the same thing. And the reason that came up for me is because when I'm not identifying, what bird is that? What song is that? That reminds me of, this sounds like, when I'm not doing that, I'm not so much hearing them, but I'm listening to every sound, and the birds are part of it. So I'm listening to the birds, but not hearing them.
They are just words, but I mean, that, then you're really, besides listening to them, when you're trying to figure out what they are and stuff, then you're thinking about them on top of listening
right.
to them. But I think just hearing them, just to me, just means it's just one of the sounds. Yeah, because of course you're hearing. It's just like your mind is thinking, your ears are hearing. Uchiyama called, what is it? Brain thoughts are brain secretions. And hearing is ear, not palpitations, not, they're buzzing. They're vibration. I knew there was a word.
Oh,
and anyway, so I'm not sure if I agree with the way you're characterizing it. So I don't know.
Let me try one more time, if I may. When I hear, there's what hearing is as a separate person with separate ears hearing. But listening is completely attention, is complete attention. Listening to the birds is being with the birds. And hearing them is having a separate ear and a body and a mind that can hear.
Well, the thing with listening implies a kind of a directed attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're not doing.
But we say we're paying attention. So if I said, I heard you, but I wasn't listening, wouldn't you think that I didn't know what, that I attributed no? Well, I think that I see it, but yet I think there's something else to it.
Well, are you lecturing next week, or is that Kate?
Yeah, I can bring it back then.
I would say I've been accused of hearing but not listening.
Well, we all do
I'm
some of that.
I'm talking about birds. I'm talking about people.
I missed that exactly. Something froze, and I missed what you said
You just have to repeat what you just
said. Yeah, I missed all the last thing.
Okay, I said I
heard the part, and then it froze.
I said I have been accused of hearing but not listening by another person in my life. So sometimes it's good.
Yes, we all do that. Except for Becky, of course. I'm not sure that Becky never. But at any rate, I'm trying not to go into Jiju Saman, but I do think this foundation, the foundation is Shikanzasa, is the Fukansa Sengi. Okamura, maybe I said this already, Okamura says that the Bendo Wa is basically a commentary on the Fukansa Sengi. Is it commentary? Yes.
I think he said the whole Shobo Genzo, he feels, is kind of a commentary.
Yes, he did say that. And I don't know about the whole Shobo Genzo. I mean, unless you want to say, look, all just like me and just like Mel, all any of us ever talk about is Zazen. So, okay. But I think of it as more like, I can't remember what I said at the very beginning. I think of it as more like an explication, it's opening it out, and it's talking, the Bendo Wa is talking more about sort of the emotional and mental approach to it and what's going on or not going on. And the Fukansa Sengi touches on it, but doesn't go into it that much. And that's what the Bendo Wa is about. I love the questions. It may be that that was one of his conversations with Ajo before Ajo really joined him. But I have this idea that he really enjoyed writing those questions about the ones at the beginning about how, you know, there's lots of ways and there are better ways. And who do you think you are? I could imagine him actually laughing as he wrote the set up these straw people and then demolished them. Who knows? Anyway, anything else?
Yeah, I have a question. I think I know the answer to this, but all the schools of Buddhism have meditation, right?
No.
Oh. Oh, really?
Yes.
I did not know that. But I thought maybe in Zen it's more emphasized. It's sort of the thing.
Yes. I mean, the Pure Land, they chant the name of Buddha, of Amitabha Buddha, future Buddha. Call on them for help. And you could say that that's meditative if you just keep doing that. And it's only, I think it's only really useful if you really mean it. But that's the same in Zazen. If, you know, if you're having a hard time in a sesshin and you call on Avalokiteshvara, if you completely mean it, something happens. But if you're just saying it, nothing happens. And you're the only one that knows the difference. You're not in your head, but in your body somewhere. So you could say it's meditative, but it's very different. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, I think, just go as sort of like going to church, and I don't know that they do the practice all that much. Mm-hmm. Of course, there are a lot of people that go to Green Gulch every Sunday and never sit otherwise. Different schools do it, you know, approach it different ways. Nichiren, when we had a Nichiren practitioner come and gave us a talk on the Lotus Sutra, which is what the Namu Myoho Renge Kyo is a reference to the Lotus Sutra. And he came, he was a friend of Meili's, and he came and it was here. And I think we darkened the Zendo. I don't know, were you here, Liam?
I was here, yeah.
It was really powerful. And the thing is, it was silent. So there was some meditation. And then he started with a drum softly and slowly, Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. And it got louder and faster and louder and faster and faster and faster. And then diminuendo, is that the word? Anyway, and then it got quiet again, and then there was meditation again. But the offshoot from them that broke away, that's known as Soka Gakkai, or now it's something else, but it's basically something. Those are the people that we say, you know, that chant that. But that's all they do. Hmm. And I guess that too could be meditative. But you know, our Dogen is just about meditation. And that's what irritated the powers that be when he came back from China. Because he wasn't, you know, he didn't completely ignore study and reading sutras and so on, but it wasn't the middle of anything. And I don't know, I think there are various Tibetan schools, I don't know. I think they all meditate in some ways. But a lot of it, you know, a lot of it's with, it has an object or a visualization or a mantra or, you know, where the dumb farmer school, which just sounds like a boast to me. Anything else?
Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it.
Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it.